This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. From Latin America to Eastern Europe, hostage taking is on the rise worldwide. And nowhere has it been more visible than in Iraq. More than 170 foreigners have been kidnapped there in the last year and a half. Often the victims are civilians who find themselves ill-prepared to cope with the ordeal. And that's fueling a growing demand for hostage survival training, as Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reports.
Military experts call hostage taking a weapon of mass impact because the plight of the victim has the power to grip a nation, especially when the victims are untrained and vulnerable civilians, like the UN election monitors kidnapped in Afghanistan, or British engineer Kenneth Bigley in Baghdad.
The last we saw of 62-year-old Kenneth Bigley, he was in a cage, sobbing and pleading for his life.
Please help me.
Now comes word Bigley may have been beheaded.
The plight of hostages like Bigley and others inspired Air Force Reserve Major Randy Spivey to found the new National Hostage Survival Training Center in Spokane, Washington. Spivey used to train high-risk personnel at the Department of Defense. Now he sees a growing market for this kind of expertise among civilians.
They've always been kidnapped periodically, but right now you're seeing across the board an increase in that activity. So we decided to establish a training center that could reach outside the Department of Defense.
He partnered with a fellow military veteran, retired Air Force Colonel Roger Aldrich. Together, says Aldrich, they offer a unique program for in-depth hostage survival training for non-military personnel.
The folks you're seeing on television that are being shown in front of the media and sometimes assassinated are truck drivers. They're support type people. They're not getting that the Air Force pilot or the Navy pilot or the Navy SEAL or the Special Forces folks who we've historically given this preparation to.
Exactly how the program prepares these civilians is a closely guarded secret. Cameras and recording devices aren't allowed inside the classroom. But the teaching does get visceral and decidedly hands-on, as this reporter learned after being blindfolded and muscled into an interrogation room. In the long minutes that followed, the yelling, the gun stuck in my ribs, and briefly cocked at my forehead were enough to provoke an emotional response that felt plenty real, even if the experience wasn't. By the time my captors turned on the video camera and demanded I make a tearful appeal to my government, it was hard to remember exactly what I was supposed to do to resist. Hostage survival training combines psychological conditioning, counter-surveillance techniques, and tips on the hostage's role in the negotiation process, all of which, says Spivey, can help victims make split-second decisions.
We say there are two primary objectives. One is to maximize their survivability. We don't say ensure survivability because there's no guarantees. The second is to minimize the exploitability of the individual, the organization, and honestly, the United States government.
Despite the media attention paid to gruesome hostage executions, Spivey says most victims actually survive the ordeal. For example, of the 170 hostages taken recently in Iraq, at least two-thirds have been released, freed, or escaped. Still, a growing number of non-governmental and humanitarian aid groups, like Doctors Without Borders, are simply pulling their people out of places like Iraq. Eric Block is a spokesman for Mercy Corps, an umbrella organization for humanitarian agencies with workers posted throughout the world.
Security has always been an issue. It's a fairly recent occurrence that we're seeing aid workers as targets. We're often referred to as soft targets because we're not typically armed, which makes us easier targets.
Mercy Corps offers a field manual with tips on what workers should do if taken hostage. For example, eat whatever food you're given to stay healthy. Don't try to escape. And don't talk to your captors about politics or religion. The lack of comprehensive hostage survival training has been recognized by Pentagon planners. Air Force Colonel John Hobble directs hostage recovery policy for the Department of Defense. He says there is a need to improve training for soldiers and expand it for civilians.
The process is in its infancy, if you will, but we are making strides to come to grips with the types of training and how is the best way to execute that training to such a large population.
A basic hostage survival training course takes at least 2 to 3 days at a cost of about $300 to $400 per day. The question for government, corporate managers, and humanitarian agencies is who should get the training and how to pay for it. For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson.